Your source for everything paranormal. Para-X. The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para-X, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
The Gathering. The supernatural world can be a dark, intimidating, and scary place. We gather to shine light on the mysterious and misunderstood aspects of the paranormal world. We bring to the table years of experience as mediums, healing channels, and paranormal investigators.
We share true stories from our experiences to dispel fear where we can and help you discover the amazing layers that make up the paranormal world. You are invited to gather around the metaphysical table with us and discuss the worlds of the unseen on The Gathering Radio Show.
Good evening, everybody. Happy Tuesday. Welcome to The Gathering on the Para-X Network. This is Heidi.
And this is Stephanie. And here we are another week, Heidi.
Another week, and I'm here again, two in a row. Gotta love it.
I know, I love it. And we're not together, though. That's never a good thing. But it's my daughter's, Casey's 28th birthday today, so we've been kind of busy all day long. And I just dashed in the house, actually, like 10 minutes ago from dinner. So it is what it is, right? We're all here. We can see each other on Skype, but it's not the same. I know, it's not the same.
Yeah, well, it's not the same, but it's still fine. And the nice thing about tonight is that we didn't have any tech issues.
That's right. Yes.
Was so lovely. And I'm sure Sarge appreciates it too. So,
oh, yeah.
That was cool.
Easy one for him.
Everything worked. We're both in our own corners.
Yeah.
So I guess maybe that helped. Anyway, so yeah, it's been an interesting week, busy week. I know I've had a lot going on. I know you have. You've been racing around anyway today.
It's only Tuesday, and I feel like, oh my God, I'm exhausted already. We still have hump day to go tomorrow. You know what I mean? It's like crazy.
And next week, though, there's a little bit of a break, I think, for most people. At some point, there's probably a break. So hopefully that'll make it a little easier.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So what have you been doing this last week since last Tuesday when we got together?
Oh my gosh. Well, you know, we squatchers got together and went squatting, which was fun.
That seems like it was a long time ago. I feel like that was before our last show. I was like, oh, we didn't do that this week. Yeah, we did.
No, it was on Friday, and Heidi came out in the woods with us and bared all the ticks and the flies and the mosquito, and let me tell you, there were plenty of them out there.
There were. It was horrific. It was absolutely horrific.
I'm very proud of her.
I get there first. The weeds are up to our waist in the first part we have to go through.
Yeah.
Up to our waist. I'm like, ladies, let's not do this.
And then I get there. This is nothing. Come on, let's go. And Heidi's like,
goodbye.
But we did it, and it was worth it. We had, Karen had no ticks. Did you have any ticks, Heidi?
Not.
Well, what am I? How come I get them all the time?
Here's the deal. I wore slippery clothing. I wore those wind pants, and I had on my knee-high rubber boots, my rain boots. I had a windbreaker on. I Velcroed, because I have these Velcro wrist things that keep your jacket cinched up. I Velcroed those to my wrists.
It was so hot out there. Oh, man.
I was melting inside my plastic suit, but let me tell you, I had no ticks. So I was happy about that.
I had quite a few, and even when we all had dinner afterwards and had a meeting, and we were sitting at the restaurant, and I could feel something crawling on my temple, and here it was a tick, and Heidi was sitting next to me, and she's like, okay, I don't even want to talk about this. Just go away and go put that somewhere.
Well, anyway. Didn't you try and flush it down the toilet, and then someone went in there, it was trying to climb out?
Yeah.
That's
a
Minnesota tick for you. That's why I'm not a fan of these things.
I don't know. If he really got out or what happened to him, but you know, whatever.
Everyone took care of him.
Yeah, but it was great. It was great to see that whole stick structure quadrant again. And you know, some of the big ones have been added to. You know, and they have new little designs and stuff. And we did a Facebook Live, so if anybody wants to see, they can go out to our Facebook, the Squatchers Facebook page. and watch that little video because it was fun. My sister, when she watched it, she said, "Oh my God, you guys look so hot." I said, "Well, we were hot because we had long sleeves and long pants. And, you know, I mean, Heidi was dressed like it was 20 below, you know. So, yeah, we were hot, but it was.
Yeah,
so
but good. No ticks.
No
That's
ticks.
All I have to say.
And we won't go back there again now, maybe till fall, because I think we need to keep going back, to, you know. But
we have to go to other places, too.
Yes, but it's always fun to see those structures and see how they're evolving. And I think, you know, it'd be fun to put a trail cam out there overnight.
So
in the fall, when it's easier to get back there and there's not, you know, a million ticks and all this stuff, you know, it'd be fun to put some back there and just go back and get them the next day and see what we find.
And next weekend, we're out on the road.
Yes. So Squatters hit the road, and we're going to Reamer for Bigfoot Days. So that's going to be really fun.
Yep.
We have everybody's telling me I wasn't properly dressed. Oh my gosh, Karen saying you went on tennies with no socks, and Heidi saying Stephanie wasn't properly dressed. Oh, I was just fine. I was just fine. But anyway, so yeah, so we're hitting the road next week, and we're going up to Reamer, Minnesota, which is the home of Bigfoot. There are tons of sightings of Bigfoot in that whole area up there, from there to, you know, Bena to Grand Rapids. I mean, it's like huge. And so we're going to be a part of that. We're going to have a booth right there at the depot. So for anyone who's going and who's in Minnesota, we're going to have a booth or a table or whatever. We're bringing our own stuff, but it's going to be there right by the depot. And then we're going to do a talk with, I believe we're sharing the stage with Minnesota Bigfoot Research Team. Actually, I think they're up first, and then they'll introduce us. At least that's how it went last year. So that's at 2:30 in the afternoon, but we'll be around the whole day. So if you go to Bigfoot Days, come down to where the depot is and come see us at our booth, because
yeah, come say hi.
We're going to have some Squatchers gear available. We're going to have our cool new t-shirts and hats. And if I can, I'm going to try to get some Cultured Bigfoot DVDs to sell too, and push those a little bit for the Lancasters, because I think it's such an awesome documentary about the culture of Bigfooters, of the Squatchers, not the Squatch. That and they're working on a new one now that's paranormal and Bigfoot put together. So that'll be fun to see that one when that one's done. Mm-hmm. But we'll have some things for sale, and of course we'll have our maps out, and we'll have some storyboards, and we'll, you know, we're gearing up to get all the stories from people, because we're going on another expedition early August up there in that area, northern Minnesota. So we're hoping to get a bunch of eyewitness reports that we can check out at that time. And we have a new member of our team now, which is exciting. So now our team is up to eight ladies.
Mm-hmm.
And we have two in northern Minnesota, which is awesome. We still
That's
need
where
one
our
or
new
two.
Member is.
Yep. And Rini is going to be fabulous. And, you know, we could still use another one or two. So if anybody is listening out there in northern Minnesota and you're interested and you're a woman and, you know, you think you can handle things, give us a, you know, drop
you
us a line.
You got to be able to handle it.
Come and see us at Reamer. You know, there was someone who did send us a note and said, "Oh gosh, I'm going to be at Reamer and I'm really interested in joining your team." And so I sent them a note back with all of, you know, what we have as our qualifications of, you know, it's really hard to walk through these dense forests and the forest floor is hard. And if you fall, you have to be able to get up and move on, you know.
And that's Stephanie like knows from firsthand experience.
Because I fall all the time, correct? Right. I usually come out of there with
Stephanie
you,
doesn't
know?
Just fall. She no. lands. Like,
yes.
She goes down, and
the
it's the hardest fall I've ever seen in my life.
Absolutely.
And she just goes down. So,
Absolutely.
Yeah, she knows how to fall.
Yeah, so, and you got to get back up and move on and shake it off, you know? So, anyway, but yeah, so we do have some qualifications. But I haven't heard back from her, so I don't know if she's just thinking, oh, yeah, I don't know, or if she'll just show up at our booth. Who knows? We'll see.
Well, hopefully we talk to her. It's so grueling. Like, you think walking in the woods is no big deal. It is a huge deal. I mean, it's hot, and you're carrying gear. I mean, we all have some kind of pack, you know, with us, because I carry the first aid kit and some other gear. And, you know, you've got, you know, cameras and measuring tapes and bats. Yeah, we all have, everybody has gear, and then the floor is, it's not a groomed trail.
Well, it's not, and it's littered with tree debris, and, you know, you really have to be careful about where you walk. And in the summertime, it's so lush. It's so lush. There's just, it's hard to even see what the floor looks like because it's, there's so many leaves and greenery. You know, at least in the fall, you can, it's bare and you can see.
Yeah. Winter's hard though too, because it's four, you know, between, you know, a foot, 2 feet of snow sometimes, and then goes up to past your knees, and you know, branches and logs and stuff, you don't even see those, and you step half on them and then you roll off and sprain an ankle or something. It's
treacherous. This whole squatching business is very treacherous, I gotta say. But it's so fun. But it's just so fun. It's just so invigorating and all that, you know, that it makes it all worthwhile. I just love it. I just love it. I just really have been bit by this bug. But anyway.
Not the tick.
What?
Not a tick.
Not a tick. Actually, it was the deer flies that bothered me more than the ticks and the mosquitoes this time. Because there were so many. Oh, my goodness. But anyway. Well, moving right along. So, Heidi, what are we going to talk about tonight on the show?
Well, I want to talk about, this was actually, it's not me wanting to talk about it. It was actually a listener suggestion. Cindy, who listens to our show through the podcasts, she asked if we can talk about different types of energies. So differences between like spirits and energies of places and, you know, different kinds of spirit energies. And like, what's the difference? You know, what is it, you know, what's the difference between these different energies? And I'm like, oh, that's a cool idea. And so we'll just kind of see what way it goes, because I would love to hear your feedback. Whoever's listening out there, if you want to hop into the chat room, we'd love to hear your feedback too. If you have experiences that you can't explain, different kinds of energies that you felt and or had, you know, something happened and you just can't explain it, or maybe you can explain it. So I'm interested in hearing from folks on that are listening too. So
I think this is a great topic. You know, there's lots to say because there's different energies everywhere we go, right? Bigfoot has a different energy. We, you know, we feel these energies all the time. So where do you want to start?
Well, I think it was interesting because you were just talking today. I think it was today, right? You were at the park? Or was
yesterday? Yeah.
Yesterday. And so I'd like to start there if that's okay. And you can share your story of just your experience at the park.
You know, and I'll post one of these pictures to the Gathering Facebook page too, so everybody can see this. But so there's a park near me that's a regional park, and it used to be, before it was a regional park, it was the Salvation Army camp. So nobody was in there for, oh my God, forever, you know. And then the park system bought it, and it's still very wooded, but it's got a massive oak canopy. So it's like one of the biggest oak savannas continuous in the whole cities, you know. It's amazing. And there's one tree that stands out, and I've always called her the mama oak, and I have pictures of her in the spring, summer, winter, fall. She's just amazing. And every once in a while, when I feel like I need kind of a hug, I go there, and I go up there, and I, you know, touch her trunk, and I sit with her for a while, and the energy that comes from her is amazing. It's just moving. It's peaceful and healing and calming and nurturing and all of those things. And you just, all you need to do is sit under her branches, and honestly, her branches come all the way down to the ground almost. So you have to, you know, there's a little path that you can get around there, and her trunk is ginormous. And you can just sit there, and you just feel so much better after you've sat with her for, you know, 5 minutes, you know, and you just have to touch her trunk and, you know, just kind of let that energy flow right through you. And I say she's Mama Oak for a reason, you know, and she's just phenomenal. And I know there's another tree where we go Bigfooting, where we were last Friday, that we have touched that feels much the same. And she's a big old pine tree that's got to be 100 years old too. I don't know how old Mama Oak is. She's probably over 100 too. But they both have that very similar quality that's just such a good feeling and nurturing, and it just makes you feel so much better just by sitting there for a while and touching her. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah. And it's interesting too, going by these trees, because, you know, you're in this forest, which it feels different than being in a city, of course. Mm-hmm. You're surrounded by houses or concrete or whatever. It feels different. But as you get to some trees, it's just they have this energy that's different. And that's one of the things I wanted to, you know, kind of talk about today too, is what things feel like, you know, because, and it, I can't say that it's going to feel the same to everybody, you know, that you stand next to the tree and you're going to feel the exact same thing I'm going to feel, because our interpretation of what we're feeling could be totally different.
Yeah.
And we may not be getting the same energy from the tree.
Yes.
You know, so we wouldn't even know that we're not getting the same energy unless maybe we're trying to describe it and it's going totally different directions. So, but yeah, it's interesting. And how people connect, because I think you connect to the trees more than I do. Not that I don't connect to them, but I think you are very, very, very connected to them.
Yeah.
And, like, yeah, you really, like, I could keep walking. You can't.
I can't. You gotta stop. I have to go. I know.
And that's fine. That's good.
Yeah, yeah. No, I do love them. And I know Katie, you know, who always, she's the camera bug, when we're all together, and she is always taking pictures of me standing and hugging trees. You know, it's amazing. But yet, when I tell her to come and hug them, she feels the same way. So, and probably like you said, maybe not the same, but definitely feels that current of energy, and, you know, that it's good energy and calming. And, you know, some trees have some good energy too, but it's some trees, like we said, are different. And like Mama Oak is very much just, oh, calming and soothing and just wonderful. And the tree out where we go squatching, same thing, you know, so they're very similar feelings for those two. But cottonwood trees are, I love cottonwood trees too. They just have such magnificent energy. Anyway, so that's what I know about those tree energies, but they're fabulous. So, you know, go touch a tree if you're feeling sad or whatever, because I think you might be surprised what it does for you.
Well, and I think too,
oh my, what's that noise?
I don't know what that noise is.
It's not me.
I thought you were opening a candy bar or something.
No,
Steph. I'm like, are you eating?
I got nothing. No.
We're not eating. We're not together, so now we can't.
I know. I have nothing. I don't have a glass of water.
I know. We can't even share a snack this time. So anyway, I lost my train of thought. Anyway, I can't remember what I was just going to say. So let me get back on my, we were talking about the tree energy.
Yeah.
One of the things I'll start with, just being outdoors too, when you're outdoors, especially in the forest too, it's really interesting if you can sit still. And right now it's such a nightmare with bugs, and I get it.
Yes.
But if you can go out in a time where there's not a lot of bugs or whatever, you're not going to be bothered, and just sit still and quiet and really see if you can actually tune in to the energy of the forest, because it's not just forest. You know, if you're really quiet, and this might take some time and some practice, but you start to learn the difference between trees, plants, mountain, lake. You know, they all have different energies, and you can actually feel the difference and sense the difference if you just are quiet and really just kind of I'm doing it. I'm trying to do it right now, and you guys can't see me. So, like letting go. You just you sit quietly outside, and you know, you've got the animals and the plants, and all. Everything has different energy, and so when you're really, I guess, practiced at doing it, if you don't already do it just naturally, you can actually feel when different animals start to come up, you know, or come in a certain proximity to you. You can tell. If the lake has shifted, you know, if you come up to a certain lake all the time, and maybe something has shifted because something got into the water, or there's been a species that is invasive that was introduced to the lake through boating or whatever. I mean, you'll be able to sense those changes in the lake. It's so interesting because we are connected with everything. Everything is energy. We are energy. The earth, everything on it, in it, around it is energy. So we have to be connected. It's just we are most often so disconnected, and so we look at ourselves as so isolated. And, you know, this human being plopped on a planet, being held down by some gravitational pull, and we're just separate. But if we really allow ourselves to let go of that idea and just sit in stillness and peacefulness, we can really start to tap into the energies of other, of everything.
Oh, yes.
And so, you know, nature, I mean, it's easy. I think it's easy. You go outside. And even if you just go to a city park, you know, mm-hmm. or if you go in your backyard, you know, mm-hmm. people that have backyards, or if you have a little courtyard in your apartment complex, or, you know, whatever, if you have a place that you can get to easily, to just sit in stillness and,
yes.
and not bring your phone and don't have a radio playing and just listen to the earth and feel the earth and the nature. It's so interesting how you can start to feel the different energies. And what's really interesting, too, is when you start to feel the other planes of energies, too. Mm-hmm. You know, if you think of, like, the elemental field, you know, mm-hmm. we have this layer of, or this dimension of beings that are what we call elementals. Mm-hmm. So that would be, you know, we've talked about it before on shows, and we probably should do another show on this again because it was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
We talked about, you know, fairies and gnomes and trolls and
gremlins. Yeah.
Ogres and whatever, and you can start feeling their energies too.
Yeah.
And I think when people feel stuff like that, they just, if they feel it, they might associate it with, they try and say it's, oh, it's birds, it's a bear, it's a, you know, whatever, and it might not be, because we're just, you know, we're trying to put it into something that we quick understand, and it, you know, we look around, we don't see anything, oh, it must, there must be a coyote somewhere close by, I feel some animal, you know, whatever, it's, maybe it's not, maybe it's some kind of elemental, you know, because they do have their own energies, and they, you know, could even get quite close, and you may not mm-hmm. see it, that doesn't mean mm-hmm. it's not there.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You know, and this time of year, honestly, because it's high summer right now, and the, if you go and you sit, there have been many times I've sat over, and even after I left Mama Oak last night, I went up to the top of the hill. And Heidi, you've been there. You know where we had our pictures taken last year by the,
yeah.
all those. Well, if you go just a little bit down further is where the owls have a nesting box there. But if you just sit there, and if there's kind of a clearing there, and if you just sit there and soak in all those energies, you can, at this time of year, honestly, you can almost feel the earth vibrating from all of the energy happening right now, because there's just so much growth and so many things happening, and it's just, it's a crazy time of year, honestly. You know, it's just like, oh my God, you know?
Yep. Yeah, but absolutely.
But you have to, like you said, quiet your mind and just sit there and let it come, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, and that's something that I think we're not very good at nowadays, or a lot of people aren't. You know, we're so used to go, 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 keep your cell phone handy, keep, you know, mm-hmm. I mean, some people, you see people outside, and I kind of laugh, you see people go outside to the park or something, you probably see this all the time over at your park
yeah.
there, where people are on their phone, and they're flipping through, and you can see them scrolling on their phone, doing something, and so it's like, well, they're sitting outside, so maybe they feel like that's their break,
mm-hmm.
but put the phone away,
yes.
you know, there's so much that you can enjoy and take in, and I was sitting outside in the morning, with a cup of coffee, and I don't even drink coffee anymore. It's decaf, but it feels the same. Mm-hmm. So, but I was just sitting outside, no phone, no nothing, just listening to the birds. There were loons. It was just lovely. I could hear some dogs barking in the distance, and it was so nice and peaceful
yeah.
and lovely. And I could hear the wind and the trees with the leaves rustling.
Yes. Yes.
And it was just so peaceful. And it was kind of like music
mm-hmm.
a little bit,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
when you just kind of let yourself go like that, it really mm-hmm. does turn into some, and communication too, you know,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's not just the obvious communication of the animals that I could hear, the trees with the rustling of the leaves, but it's that energy communication.
Oh yes. Oh yes. You know, and I was there for quite a while last night, and I also sat on the dock on the lake, and there were three female ducks sitting on the dock too, and I scurried around them because I didn't want to bother them, you know, but I wanted to sit at the edge of the dock, and they sat there, and I went to the end of the dock, and I just sat there, and you know, that's what you do, you just sit there, and I don't know how long I sat there, but when I turned around, those ducks were like sound asleep, and I'm like, okay, well, they did kind of wake up and look at me literally when I walked by, but I thought that was very cool that they weren't afraid and flew, you know what I mean, that they
mm-hmm.
stayed there, let me sit there with them, you know, and we just kind of communed with nature. But, yeah, I agree. I think when people go outside and you're sitting in the park or even on a bench somewhere, put down your phone and just listen and feel.
Yeah. And, you know, one of the things that I believe, and I'm not a scientist, so I don't know, but that is the difference, you know, because this is the point of it, was there's different kinds of energies, and some are spirit and some are elemental and some are earth and some are, you know, wherever they're coming from. And they're all at a different vibration, at a different mm-hmm. level. And mm-hmm. so that's what makes them different, you know, or one of the things, at least that I believe, that makes them different and is why, you know, why one is different than another is because they have a different vibration. And so mm-hmm. they feel different and a different, maybe, strength, you know, energy strength, so they can even maybe manifest in other ways other than just being able to sense them. You know, if they have a strong vibration and a strong energy field or energy force, they may be able to present in other ways other than you just being able to sense them. So that's one of the things that I want to put out there, because that's part of the reason that this was brought to my attention, is like, well, why are there different energies? You know, what is, mm-hmm. what's the difference? And so that's one of the things. I have a story. I'll share it after we're, well, I might have enough time to share it right now, that differentiates different energies and how it's hard to tell sometimes. I'll tell the story now here because I think we have enough time.
Mm-hmm.
I went to a home clearing for a client, and this was a long time ago. God, this was a long time ago. And this gal was young, and she was sensitive. And this has happened, I can't even tell you how many times, but I just remember this one gal, because she was really scared, because there were all these spirits and all these energies, and she was losing her mind, because there was just so much going on in this house and just in life. And she, you know, it's hard to be at home and have this stuff happen, and then you leave, and it's even 1,000 times worse when you're sensitive, and everywhere you go, you're feeling things, and she was just at the end of her rope. And so they wanted me to come over and do a home clearing, and I went there, and I'm like, yeah, I feel some stuff, but she was really stressed out, and I'm like, well, what do you, tell me what's happening. And mm-hmm. she said that she would feel spirits, and they were all over the place, and she would describe the sensation she would get, and then she knew there was a spirit there. And I said, okay, well, what kind of spirits are they? And she just stared at me and stared. And I said, do you know what kind of spirits they are? Like, what's the difference? And she's mm-hmm. like, what do you mean, what's the difference? I said, well, you're telling me that they're spirits, but what kind of spirits are they? Are they good? Are they bad? They're in the middle? Like, what do you know about them? And she didn't have an answer. And so I said, okay, so let me clarify. When you get this feeling, you know that spirit's present. And so you're automatically scared. And she mm-hmm. said, yeah, it's a spirit. And I said, okay. So I said, there's what we need to start to work on, is what kinds of spirits are around. Because what is probably my experience, and I've been, at this point, I have been doing it a long time, and now I've really been doing it a long time, and I still stand by this, is that the majority of the energies that we run into are just average, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
mm-hmm.
I think would agree with me.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the energies that we run into, even if it's in a paranormal investigation, spirit energies, whatever, they're average, run of the mill.
Yeah.
Know, they're just like you and me and everybody you run into during a regular day.
Yeah.
You know, you're not going to run into the really, really good. You're probably not going to run into the really, really bad. You're just going to run into lots of stuff in the middle. That's fine, normal, okay, kind of crabby, kind of sad, kind of happy, kind of whatever,
right,
you know?
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I said, okay, so those are the kinds of spirits that you're running into, which I'm assuming they are, because that's my experience, the majority of what you're going to run into on an average day. Why are you afraid?
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, because they're spirits. And I'm like, okay.
Well,
because you don't understand them doesn't mean you need to be afraid of them. So that's something we should work on. And that's what was happening, is because she could feel them, she was automatically afraid of them.
Okay.
And that's what we had to start to work on, is because they're spirits doesn't mean they're bad.
No, absolutely,
and I think,
not.
Yeah, right? And I think that was coming from just like TV shows, movies over mm-hmm. the years, whatever, you know, where if it's a spirit, it's bad, it's going to get you, it's going to hurt you.
Yeah.
And so I think that's what she grew up with, is if it's spirit, sure. it's got to be bad. And I
sure.
need to be afraid.
Yeah. Well, that's good. So was she okay after that then, or did she call you back?
Well,
or?
No, I mean, it took some work, because you can't, I mean, it's that kind of thing when you've lived with it for, I mean, she was in her late teens at this point, mm-hmm. so she'd been living with it for a while, and it's not just a light switch you can flip, you know,
right.
all of a sudden it's off and you don't have to worry anymore. So it took some time to work with her because that was, you know, that's just something that it's kind of programmed in your brain, and you have to rewire, you know, reprogram or so to speak. So it took some time, but yeah, it was definitely better. Mm-hmm. But I guess there's more to that story that I can share, that we'll do that after we get off our break.
Oh, yeah. So it's, wow, half an hour has gone by already.
I know.
That's unbelievable. Woofta. All right. Well, we are going to go to break, so stay with us. We will be back on the ParaX Network in 2 minutes.
Whether you're listening at home, at work, or anywhere, thanks for making ParaX part of your day. Your source for everything paranormal. ParaX.
I'm Jenna Valadez with The Basement Files. Tune in Friday nights, 6 p.m. Central, 7 p.m. Eastern, right here on the ParaX Radio Network.
It is the secret of the world that all things subsist and do not die, but only retire a little from sight and afterwards return again. Nothing is dead. People find themselves dead and endure the mock funerals and mournful obituaries. And there they stand, looking out the window, sound and well, in some new and strange disguise. This secret must be told to the world, and they must tell it. Because they're not dead, we know this, and we'll prove it. So join Mike and Dave every Monday night at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central for the Odyssey Files. Only on ParaX.
Demons. Vampires. Sunday nights at midnight on the Staring Into the Abyss radio show. Come, get lost with us.
Hi, welcome back to The Gathering. This is Stephanie.
And this is Heidi. We're here on a Tuesday night. We're talking about spirit energies and different kinds of energies in the spirit world. So I was talking about this gal, and this happens a lot in my business, where people come to me and they're really stressed out or freaked out because of the different energies that they feel, and they don't know what to do about it, and they're trying to manage it or stop it or change it or whatever. And the first thing we have to come to an understanding of is, you know, what is it that they're feeling? And if they really can't put their finger on it and nothing is really happening other than they're feeling something, not that it's good, bad, or anything, they're just feeling it. Mm-hmm. It's probably just energy, you know, that they're feeling. It may not even be the energy of, you know, spirits. It could be just earth energy. It could be land, you know, something that happened with the land. You know, it could be an antique in their house. I don't know.
It could be, yeah.
So there's all sorts of reasons, and we want to get to the bottom of it before we just jump to the conclusion that there's a demon in their house and they're going to be possessed and all that fun stuff. That a large number of people like to jump to that conclusion first out of the gate. And I'm like, gosh, if that's actually what was happening, this would not be the world that we're in today. I mean, it's so rare. And anyway, well, that's probably a different show too, but talk about demons on another show. It's just, you know, understanding that you're feeling energies, but that doesn't mean it's negative or bad. It's just that you're sensitive to energies, and trying to understand what energies you're sensitive to. And that's where that, when we were first talking about going outside and being in the forest or being in a area where there's a lot of earth energy, you know, like trees and lake and rock and whatever, it is a good place to practice feeling into the differences. Because understanding the differences will help you understand just everything around you, especially if you're sensitive. So, you know, I thought that was an interesting I guess I'll say story, but it does happen quite a bit. Because feeling spirit sometimes feels like feeling other things. If you're sensitive, you don't always know what it is, right?
Yes.
Because you feel stuff too.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think there is definitely a difference between, you know, alive energies and, you know, spirit energies. You know, I mean, you know, maybe just because we've been doing this for a long time and I know the difference, but...
Well, that's part of it, though, is practice.
It feels different. Exactly. It feels different, right. You know?
So, it's, you know, feeling the energy of animals is different than feeling the energy of a lake, which is different than feeling the energy of a human soul, you know, even if it's without a body or with a body, or... Yep. You know, that's different from
the true energies.
Yeah.
Any of that.
A house, you know, you go into a house. You know, it's interesting. Speaking of this, this is a good example, too. I just moved a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
And I've been going back to my house because I am just, it's been a hard transition because it's, it hasn't been, pick all my stuff up and put it in one spot. I've had to put it into different spots. And so it's been kind of, wild.
Yes,
so I had to go back. Yeah, I've had to go back to my old house a few times. And what's really interesting, and Tim has helped me a couple of times go get some stuff, and so he came with me after I moved with his truck to help me get some things. And the house feels totally different.
Yeah.
Now that
I bet
I'm out.
It does. Oh yeah.
It's so weird. Mm-hmm. And he went there because I was selling some stuff too that I don't have anywhere to put and I don't need it anymore. And so I was selling it and I asked him to go over to the garage because that's where all my stuff is sitting right now. I said, go over to the garage and take it out. And can you just, cause he was going to be down in the city. I said, can you just sell it to these, you know, this gal that's coming over. And so he did but he had to go into the house to get, I don't know, the cushions or something. Mm-hmm. And he went in. So I wasn't there. And he's like, oh my gosh, it is totally different in there.
Yeah.
So just having my energy out of the house has now shifted the energy in the house.
Yes.
And it's a night and day difference. And frankly, I feel I don't feel bad anymore because it's not my house anymore and I'm moving on, but I feel bad for the house a little bit because the house feels kind of sad. But that's the way it goes. And then that's not my responsibility anymore. But it's interesting how it's changed so quickly. Just because of the people in it now have changed. So now the energy inside has changed. You know, and that's different than when you have like an active spirit energy in a house.
Absolutely.
So then that changes the feel. And you know that too, because we've both done a lot of paranormal investigating.
Yes.
And what I think is really interesting is when you go to a location that people are freaked out, like really freaked out. And you get there, and you're like,
Oh, my God. And you're kind of like this because there's just so much, you know, because the fear energy is crazy, right?
Well, and some of it isn't even because, like, it's their energy. But when I get there, I'm like, okay, there's nothing active here.
No.
There's,
exactly.
What they're afraid of is energy, but it's not interactive energy. It's not intelligent energy. It's, but that's because of practice. We've been doing this for a long time. You can tell the difference.
Yeah.
What they're afraid of is, you know, you know, it's an electrician problem, not a paranormal problem. And I've run into that a lot. I've told the story a million times where it's, you know, we find things that are giving off a huge EMF field.
Yes.
And creating this energy that people can feel, but it's not interactive.
No.
But they don't know the difference. Because they just feel that it's energy.
You know, and that EMF energy is horrific. I mean, it can drive you crazy. It's
in large doses, And it's dangerous.
Physically
dangerous.
Yeah, yeah. No good. But totally different than spirit energy.
Right.
And, you know, when we're as paranormal investigators, some paranormal investigators use EMF pumps. Which I can't stand. They drive me crazy, and I will not allow anybody to use that when I'm around because I'm so sensitive to it. I'm like, get rid of that thing, put it away. We're not having that here.
And I get why people use them. I won't use them in an investigation unless spirits are draining the batteries of everything that we have,
because
that's just annoying as heck. So if spirit is draining every battery in the joint, then I'll put out some kind of pump or something. And I know that they rock my world too, but Mm-hmm. If we have a job to do, it's like, well, I got to do something to get them to quit draining every battery I have. This is going to never go anywhere.
Yeah.
So we'll give them something to feed them.
Yeah.
You know what? I know that it's hard to be around them when you're sensitive, but mm-hmm. I get the point too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Karen is talking about feng shui and talking about how that can shift the energy in a house just by furniture placement and different kinds of accessories or flow in a house, mm-hmm. you know, by what you set up mm-hmm. in the house, or how you have the, you know, even the position the house is facing,
right.
the windows, the right. numbers, what's out
the
in front.
The color of the door, you know, you're supposed to have those red doors.
Something like that. Yeah, I'm not familiar with that, but same thing. You know, it's just, it can shift the energy and that can change things. Decluttering, Christy is saying good reason to declutter. Yeah, well, how many investigations have you been on that have an icky feeling in the house and you get in and it's just full to the brim?
Yeah, almost all of them, really.
Right?
And a lot of them that have a lot of paranormal activity also are cluttered up like that. You know, one of the 10 things that we tell clients is that, you know, you need to declutter. You need to clean this house up. You know, you need to put things away. It needs to be orderly because you're never going to get rid of the spirit problem until you do, which is true. I mean, because we can go in and clear it, but if they're going to be crazy and have just be a mess like this, they'll come back. You know, I mean, they won't stay away.
Well, and clutter is a low vibration.
Mm-hmm.
It's a low vibration lifestyle. And I won't say it's their worst things, of course, but it's still one of those energies that it's got some low vibration energy to it. And low vibration energy attracts low vibration entities.
Mm-hmm.
And not every time, but it can. And it doesn't mean that they're going to be intelligent or interactive, but it still can draw them in. So, you know, so like a leech doesn't sit there and interact with you and do stuff, but it would still draw from you and take from you.
Absolutely.
So it's kind of same kind of thing. And so clutter, you know, you guys are on the chat room talking about clutter. Yeah, that can shift the energy in a place and it can create a low vibration feel, which can attract low vibration energies. So can shift the energy. Absolutely. That's a good point.
Yeah, for sure.
But, you know, it's interesting, too, just even talking about spirit energies and how those can be different from each other. You know, if you have human souls, you know, people have passed on and their souls are still present or energies are still present. Those can feel different too, depending on what's happening, what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Residual energy is really not the human soul anymore. It's just their footprint.
Yes.
And we can feel that.
Mm-hmm.
And if we don't know that it's residual, which is non-interactive, it can frighten us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you know this too, the fear energy can be so extreme that it can draw more energies in.
Oh, yeah.
And so you actually create the problem by being afraid.
Mm-hmm.
Because the original problem wasn't interactive, but you don't know the difference.
Mm-hmm.
Your fear draws in active, interactive spirit.
Yes.
Then can shift the feel again.
Yes.
And see what's happening.
Yes.
So. Yeah, it's interesting. If you really like start to break it down, I can't even imagine how many categories there would be of all these different energies.
Oh, I know.
Amy in the chat room. I've always wondered if I brought something home from Mexico. It seems all this bad stuff happened after we came back from there. I've even tried to clear the items I bought. Who knows? Well, it's possible. I know lots of people that have gone on vacation and come back and either just their own energy has shifted from being somewhere else or something that they brought back, like you said, if you brought something back.
Mm-hmm.
And what's interesting, a couple of times this has happened, where it wasn't what they brought back that was causing the trouble. It was the energy of the items that were brought back. The energies were dormant, but it was still energy attached to some of the things and possibly the person. It wasn't energies that were interactive, but what was already in the home.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody kind of had their flow that was living there, and everybody, they were in their groove. This new stuff comes in the house with this different energy, and it riled up the existing energies.
Oh, yeah. I can see that happening. Absolutely. Right? That totally makes sense.
Yeah. Everybody was cool. Like, everybody has their flow, their space, their jive, you know, they're cool. And then here comes this new stuff in that just kind of knocks everything out of orbit. And then these existing energies just kind of flail and wire up.
They're like, out. Who are these guys? You know, it's kind of like people, too. You know, everybody's cool, and then here comes the newbies, and it's like, ooh.
It's not even that their newbies are interactive. It was just energy.
Yeah.
It's just, it's like someone brings in a casserole, and you don't like that kind of casserole, so you start having a fit because you can smell this thing.
I know, right?
It's like, I don't even know why I'm using that example. That just came, but it's like that. It's like someone brings in a certain kind of food, and you're like, I don't like that kind of food. Who brought that into the house?
Yeah.
Because all it is the smell. It's not even doing anything other than smelling, but there don't like the smell, so they're having a fit.
Yeah.
And that's what it was happening a couple of times. It was they were the ones that whatever was there that the people in the house didn't know were there until they brought new energies in.
Mm-hmm.
And then the energies that were already there kind of started to roll and fit and whatever. And and not saying that that's happening here in this place.
No, but it could.
Now, Amy's saying, anybody want some stuff from Mexico? LOL. No.
Mm-hmm.
I'm
no,
sure we can figure it out.
Yeah.
I'm curious if it's when did it start happening? When did you go to Mexico, and how is it still happening now? So if you can answer that,
That'd be cool.
Yeah, but just the different kinds of spirit energies, because you can have, and there. Oh, and I'm coming up with all sorts of things now. This could maybe be another show. So, spirit energies that pass through versus energies that stay.
Yeah,
versus spirit energies that want to interact with you. Because I've had some in my old house. There was something down in the basement over by the water main.
Oh, I know. You told me about that.
Right? And it was just, leave everybody alone and everybody's fine.
Yeah.
You start around, you start poking around, don't. And I'm like, oh. And I started poking around. I'm like, what am I doing? It's not doing anything. I don't even know what it is. But it was attached to the water. And it was, you know, some kind of sulfur or something. I don't know, maybe. But it was attached to the water, and it was happy just sitting there in its dark little corner doing nothing but being on its own. And I leave it alone, it's fine. If I start trying to smudge it out and flush it out or whatever, it will. I got hit with it once, almost knocked me on my butt.
Oh,
and
right.
Didn't do anything, though. It was just like, it was just saying, like, stop. I'm just going to sit here and be quiet. Leave me alone.
Right.
So then I did, and it was fine. I lived there for 11 years, so I'm like, okay, well, I guess I'll leave you alone. If you start to bug me or do anything, we're going to come to an agree. We're going to figure this out. And I never had to, because it was fine.
That's wild.
Yeah, right?
Isn't it? Right. Yeah. So there's just, energy is just kind of a, I don't know, multifaceted, multi different things,
Yeah, it's
totally
hard.
Didn't make sense what I just said, but you know what I meant.
I know what you mean. It's hard to be sensitive, because if you don't understand what's happening, that's where it gets scary, and that's where it gets hard.
Yes.
And that's when, and I talk to people about this all the time, unless you're actually getting hurt or someone is getting hurt, it's best to just be calm, you don't panic, and try and figure it out. It's like this gal that I was telling you guys about, she was panicking because she could feel something, but she never stopped to think that it had never hurt her. She was never hurt. She was never, it was never disturbing. You know, it was just something there. And so instantly she would freak out. And I said, well, we need to stop and just understand that nothing has happened to you. So let's try and figure out what the stuff is, because I would imagine most of it is just stuff passing through. And if it's going to pass through, let it pass through.
Yes.
I don't know many places that you could live that things aren't going to just pass through.
Right. Because they're always passing through.
It's everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So, they're everywhere. Spirits, energies, everything, everywhere. So it's important to stop and start to figure out what's going on and why, what are you feeling? What do you feel when you're feeling it? You know, just because you're afraid doesn't mean it's bad. We're afraid because we don't understand. And that's different.
It's the unknown. Yes. Absolutely. So Amy is saying in 2009, she got the stuff. So she said she got the Mexican stuff in 2009. And 2 months later, her husband was in a motorcycle accident. He had 8 surgeries, and nothing went right after that. Karen is saying she needs an appointment with you, Heidi.
Well, I'm curious about the stuff and the house and the, are you, is that the same house that you're currently living in? I'm curious because, I don't know that this is an Amy appointment thing as much as a house thing
or something,
or maybe it's a husband thing, you know, maybe it's something mm-hmm. that's on his path that he needs to be worked with. But, you know, that's, there's all sorts of ways that that could go, to see where the root of it is, you know. And it's not that, I don't want to say that this is going to be pointed to something that has an external excuse, like, oh, it's because you brought the maracas back and those maracas are tainted, and if you get rid of the maracas, everybody's gonna, you know, no more surgeries, everybody's gonna feel good. And if you wouldn't have brought the maracas, they wouldn't, this stuff wouldn't have happened. I'm not saying that, because that's not sometimes how this works. But sometimes stuff like that happens. I'm not saying in this case, but it does, it can happen.
Right.
Yes, they're in the same house.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and she's saying he's a klutz.
Mm-hmm. Well, so maybe he's just a klutz, and they and this has nothing to do with that energy from those items brought back from Mexico or anything else. He's just, you know, prone to accidents.
Well, and a motorcycle accident. I mean, who knows?
Yeah.
But I doubt that's because he was a klutz. But,
no.
You know, it could be part of his, I mean, this is, again, a different show, part of his path.
Yes.
Of things that he's trying to work on in this lifetime. You know, what are the mm-hmm. lessons he's learning through these, you know, really, I'm sure, painful surgeries and painful living, you know, that he's doing in the in-between. So that might be, and I'm not saying that's what it is, but there's a lot of different ways that this could go. You know, that, anyway, different show, I'm sure.
Yes.
Well,
yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
But that's how interesting this seemingly, you know, simple topic is, you know, just talking about different kinds of energies and, you know, and vortexes. We didn't even talk about vortexes. You've been in a vortex, haven't you? Have you been
betcha.
In vortex energy?
Yes.
So what do you think when you feel vortex energy?
Oh.
Like, how would you describe it? I mean, the ones that you've been in, I'm sure they're different
ones. Well, I just think it's kind of crazy, wild, kind of makes you crazy when you're in there, right? It does me anyway. It's kind of like an EMF pump, kind of, sort of, you know, it just is that crazy, wild energy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's what I think. I don't know how else to describe it, but it, you can definitely feel it. Yeah.
Yeah. It feels, some of them that I've been in, and I won't describe all of them like this, but a few of them that I can think of, it's like you're walking and you can tell that you're just in the energy of air, regular mm-hmm. air, and then you walk into thicker air.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like it's thicker, and it's like water. Mm-hmm. You know how you feel like you're moving mm-hmm. a little slower in water,
mm-hmm.
and everything's a little bit swimmy and floaty and or just dense. It feels like the air is dense around you.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel that's when I've gone into some vortexes. And not only is it dense around you, it's like buzzing or like you can feel the vibration of it instead of just being in air, which feels like nothing. I mean, because we're used to it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It feels like something is vibrating or shifting like fast
and,
or tingling or something. And
sometimes
my ears, I can feel it in my ears, like the pressure changes.
Yeah. And the heart, too. I feel like my heart's going to beat right out of my chest.
Yeah. It starts pounding and going faster.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's a different kind of energy. That's a, you know, vortex energy, which is, you know, a shift in that place for whatever reason. Sometimes I've been in ones that have been created by humans, which is, I don't like the way those feel at all. Those are, to me, very unnatural and mm-hmm. dangerous. I don't think they're a good idea. And then there's natural vortexes that are, I think, some of what we look for when we're looking for our Bigfoot hunting.
Yes, absolutely.
And it's different. It's just a different thing. Now, Kat is asking Vortal. I just made up a word.
Vortex.
Vortex and Vortal.
Yeah.
It's a Vortal.
Maybe
those exist.
Yeah, I like that.
It's a Vortal. A vortex and a portal. So, for me, when I feel a vortex, I feel it's a area of energy that has that's just different for some reason, and I don't know that I would even be able to say why it's different or what's happening there, other than I would believe, I do believe, that the veil is thinner on a more regular basis, and we're more able to communicate with spirit when we are in a portal, or at least as humans, and see and experience the spirit realm or other realms, other dimensions in a portal, or excuse me, a vortex. Portal is more of like a doorway. At least that's how I would describe it. It's more of a dimensional doorway. And again, can be created by humans or natural. They don't always feel that different than a vortex. So I would, the only, at least the ones that are coming to mind right now that I've dealt with in the past, that I would know the difference is to see what's happening when I'm around one or the other. So, oh, and Karen's asking, is the energy of a vortex moving like a tornado? Not necessarily like a tornado, but I would say it's, they're both moving though. They're both, they're not
shifting.
Yeah, they're shifting is a good way to put it. Yeah, I would say shifting is a better word. Because they don't always stay the same size or the same place.
No.
I mean, they can be in a similar place or around the same place, but they're certainly not always the same size.
Yeah.
They're created, I think.
Yeah. And I think a vortex has more wild energy than a portal. A portal is more like just there. You know, you can feel it. It's a different kind of energy. You can feel it when you walk into it, but it's not the same as a vortex. A vortex feels crazy, wild. Your heart pounds through your chest. Your ears hurt. All these things that we were talking about, and it feels like liquid water, you know.
You're going to meet Daniel.
Yeah. And Karen's... one of the things I was going to say before I get to Karen's, and then we get, we're going to have to go. Vortex, a portal, I've been able to close portals, no problem. Vortex is a tricky deal. Like, that's not always something, depending on the size of it, too, is not always something you can or should close. It, again, depends on the situation or what's happening. I've moved vortexes or parts of them out or away from where they're causing damage, if they're causing damage. I've been able to shift them, but some of them are too big to close. You can't close it, and I don't know that you're supposed to, but I've worked around them. I've helped move them, shift them, divert them. Same with energy lines, you know, help divert them around properties or houses or whatever. Portals I've been able to close down, especially if they're doing or opening up to things that are not good for whoever's around. Karen was asking if spirits or non-human entities can create vortexes. Yeah, I would assume so. If humans could do it, they could do it. And I would assume that it would be similar in feel. I don't know why it would be any different. And if we could do it, they can do it. You know, we have that edge over them. But I don't think it, like human creating a vortex or a portal or some kind of feel, it takes a lot of work.
Yes.
This is not, you're just going to whip out in your backyard in 2 minutes and be done with it. It takes a lot of work, a lot of focus, a lot of intention, a lot of maintenance. And, you know, intention with that is always key.
Yes.
About why you're doing it. That's probably another show, too. I think we'd have like 10 shows off this one topic.
I know, right? Yeah, we do. We've been really
and
talking
we're out
about
of time,
a lot of interesting things. We are out of time. I can't believe this hour has gone by this fast. My goodness. Always, though, always.
But it was an awesome listener topic, so thank you for
that. And yeah, thanks.
Please contribute. If you have more topics, we'd love to hear them. We'd love to share your topic for one of our next shows.
Absolutely. So next week, we will be rerunning a show that we have had in the past, and I can't remember which one it is right now, Heidi, because it's 4th of July, and we are going to be on holiday.
4th of July week. Yeah.
4th of
so
July
we'll be
week.
A rerun.
Yep. So, but we will be back in 2 weeks live and, you know, in charge and all that, and it'll be fun. But anyway, we wish everyone a great 4th of July week, and, you know, thanks, Sarge and Para X and Heidi, thank you.
Thank you, Stephanie. It's great to see you over Skype.
Over Skype.
Yeah, thanks everyone for listening and contributing your comments. And yeah, for ParaX for hosting. And we'll be back in 2 weeks.
Oh, see ya. Bye-bye.
Good night, everyone.